This week on F8, The Photographer's Perspective, I talk creativity and flower photography with Ann Belmont. I've been fortunate to work alongside some of the world's most inspiring photographers. I've watched how they've helped others at our conferences and transformed the way they see through the lens. Welcome, I'm your host, Chris Smith, founder of Out of Chicago. This is F8, The Photographer's Perspective, the show where we have candid conversations and go in-depth with the pros to get to know them better. Join us each week as we discuss photography, get to know their personal perspectives, and introduce you to new places and experiences, helping you get the most out of your creative passion. All right, I'm here with my really good friend, Ann Belmont. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Chris.
We're here at Crocodile Bay in Costa Rica, and we have one day left for our Out of Costa Rica event. And it's been a whole lot of fun. Had some great participants. We've done amazing things. Today we went on the Sierpe River tour and saw some great birds and just had a great time with the guides and everyone else. So, yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about all the things we have coming up with Anne. She's doing a lot of stuff with us. And, well, Anne's always done, you know, she's on my team for Out of Chicago, but she's also one of our best presenters, one of my favorite people.
Aww.
And, yeah. And so, yeah, we'll talk about Longwood, which we have coming up soon. And we'll talk about next year what we're doing for our Flower and Garden Conference and a couple other things and all the stuff that you've been doing for... I don't know how you're helping other people be more creative. So
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
So let's start in just a couple of weeks. We're going to Pennsylvania Longwood Gardens, and this is the place where you said that we had to go to do this year's Flower and Garden Conference. And so, so it's coming up. It's sold out. It's going to be awesome. And you're going to do the closing talk, and you're doing a couple other things too. So tell us some of the stuff that you're going to be teaching in Longwood.
Okay, well, I'm really excited. Longwood is just an amazing garden. Of course, you know, my second home is really Chicago Botanic. I live about 10 minutes from that garden, so I spend a lot of time there. But I think my second favorite garden, I hate to play favorites, but would be Longwood. It's just, it's magical to go there. It's a very different garden from Chicago Botanic, but I think it's going to be a fantastic place to do a conference. So yeah, we're, boy, do we have the schedule jam-packed with so many wonderful things. I think people are getting really excited once they finally
saw. I saw someone's comment on the Facebook page today. I wish I could clone myself.
Yes, that was
so
Mary.
So many things going on, of course, yeah.
Yeah, we've just got so many amazing instructors, and each one of them is offering just really great opportunities to learn. And I think one of the things that we really look for are people that you know, are very creative and love to focus on teaching people to be more creative. I know that's really where it's at for me. But so my focus in the conference, other than doing the closing talk on the last day, will be teaching a lot about Lens Baby. So Lens Baby will send a couple of bunkers full of lenses for everybody to try. So a lot of my excursions, most all of my excursions, will focus on teaching about the lenses. Of course, that, you know, not everybody may be interested in trying a Lens Baby. I hope they all would like to try it. But if they don't, you know, I've certainly focused on teaching any kind of.
So maybe tell us, like, for those of us that don't know, what's a Lens Baby?
Everybody knows. No.
When I got the Lens Baby the other day, he goes, Dad, where's that baby lens? It's not a baby lens. It's Lens Baby. Tell us.
Well, Lens Baby is a wonderful company in Portland, Oregon. And I've been working with them for a few years now. They sponsor me for a lot of the talks a lot of the conferences that I speak at. And they always send loaner lenses. They're wonderful lenses for a whole variety of genres, but for flower photography, obviously, that's what I'm using them for. They're just fabulous. So I love teaching people how to use these lenses. They have artistic effects built in. Each lens is different. So on one of the first days of the conference, I do what I call Lens Baby Boot Camp. And it's really getting people, you know, people that are brand new to using these lenses, get them familiar with what each lens does, what the effects are, how to use them. I have all kinds of tips and tricks. And even for a more experienced Lens Baby user, I think, you know, there's some people really struggle with them. They're manual focus, manual aperture lenses. So there's a little bit of a learning curve to using them, especially with, you know, focusing them. And I have, you know, through the years, I've just gathered all my little tricks for how to use them. So that boot camp, as I call it, will be focused on really familiarizing everyone with the lenses and how to use them. And then on my excursions, we'll go out and I'll actually loan them out to people. So we'll have all the lenses that are best for flower photography. And, you know, we're also doing garden landscapes too. Some of the lenses are wonderful for that too. But what I really love to teach people in the field is not just, you know, techniques for flower photography. Of course, you know, I'll be teaching them how to control their backgrounds, you know, how to experiment with aperture and all the basics of flower photography. But what I really love teaching people is to see flowers differently, to really look at a flower like you've never seen it before, and to really look into the flower. And the way I see flowers is very abstract. I see them in terms of lines, curves, textures, patterns. And I love to teach that to other people, just a little different way of seeing them. And I love to teach how to shoot with selective focus. So that's always an area that I'm focusing on, no pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love to photograph flowers is, I mean, this is bad, but, and this is another topic too, but I'm not someone that's really into flowers. Like, I don't think they're that interesting, but I think they make great photographic subjects because of the patterns, the textures, the line, all that. So that's why I enjoy it so much. But you, have you always been kind of a flower person before you were a photographer even?
No, I've always been very closely tied with nature. I grew up in a small town and, spent a lot of time outdoors as a child. You know, I was kind of that generation where we would get on our bikes and disappear for the day in the woods and play. And I feel very thankful for having the childhood that I did. And the part of, I grew up in Southern Illinois, which a lot of people think, oh, you know, farmland, but it's very different from the northern part of the state. It's absolutely beautiful, actually. So I spent a lot of time in the woods in, areas where, you know, there were a lot of cliffs and ferns. I have always loved ferns. They're one of my favorite subjects to photograph, and that truly came from just being around them as a child. And I always loved nature. I was one of these kids that, you know, under my bed, I had a rock collection, a leaf collection, a shell collection. And so I was always fascinated with looking at nature up close. And there wasn't any one particular subject that I loved. I just loved all of it. But when I moved to Chicago and started raising my family, it was hard to find those little places in nature to, you know, I mean, we live in the suburbs, but I wanted my children to have that same kind of experience with nature. And I soon discovered that I lived 10 minutes from this amazing 385-acre garden where you could just get lost and feel like you were in nature. So once I started going to Chicago Botanic, I fell in love with flowers. And I was also, I've been photographing all my life, but I didn't really discover that as my genre until I discovered Chicago Botanic. So there's a lot of flowers there, as you know.
Absolutely.
But a lot of other subjects too. I mean, you know, I love all botanicals. They're all, you know, all fun to photograph.
Yeah, and it's a great place to shoot. It's one of my favorites, and we had a great conference there last year, mm-hmm. last summer. This year we're going to Longwood Gardens, but next year we're going back to Chicago Botanic Gardens again.
Yes.
And that's going to be August 23rd through the 28th if people want to put it on their calendar. And Ann Belmont will... Are you going to do the keynote, do you think? We should, right? You should, like you did last time?
I certainly
look
can.
At her. Look at her. She's like, well, I better be.
So, I don't know.
So we'll have Ann Belmont. We have a new instructor for us, Harold Davis.
Yes.
Tell us just real quick what he's known for.
Well, he's known for a lot of things. He's an excellent photographer. But the thing that I think in the flower world that people know him for is that he does these incredible setups on light boxes. And he has some very, you know, I guess somewhat complicated ways of processing them too, which he's going to share with us and show us how he does. But we're really excited to have him. He's written a lot of books. He's very well known. Thrilled that he wanted to come.
And when we were putting together Yosemite, I came across, well, he's written a book on Yosemite, plus we want the theme to be black and white photography, and he's written a whole book on black and white photography, so he's a perfect fit. He's going to join us in Yosemite as well as an instructor.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he does a lot of different kinds of photography, not just flowers.
So Sarah Marino, who we
yes.
had with us in Moab last year,
absolutely.
Who is known for her landscapes, but small, intimate scenes, she'll be there, so doing garden landscapes. Jamie Konarski-Davidson, Jerry Jones, Don Komarechka, the snowflake guy, he's coming to Longwood with us too, can't wait to work with him. Jack Curran, who's known for his black and white botanicals, and Jackie Kramer, so and more.
Yeah.
So that's the starting list for next year out of Chicago Botanic 2020, and it's August 23rd to the 28th. So at Longwood, you're going to be taking people out in the field. You're going to be showing them how to use lens babies. There's going to be lens babies for people to try. Like, what are the main things that you can help people with? Well, how about in terms of creativity, in terms of seeing flowers differently? Like, how can you help them in the field?
Well, just as I was saying, I really, you know, when I take people, you know, out into the field in workshops, I really encourage them to, first of all, slow down. I think, you know, what we do in any kind of macro photography or flower photography, you have to take time to really look at your subjects, really study them. And that's how we find unique subjects. And a big part of my flower photography is finding subjects that have character, that are interesting, that even have stories to tell. And a lot of that comes from my background because I was in a former life an art therapist. And for a long time, I never really saw how my art therapy background influenced what I do today. I saw them as very different lives. And I don't know, about 2 years ago, as I began to develop this whole idea of seeing stories within my images and, you know, projecting feelings and really studying my images, I began to see the connection of how, you know, we project part of our personal self into those stories, into what we see in anything. It's not just flowers. It could be anything. And I think that's a huge part of bringing yourself to your art is bringing the feeling, the emotion, your personal stories into your images. And some people are going to get it, but other people aren't. And what I love is I love that everybody sees something a little different. You know, I can show somebody an image and I might have one story about it, but they might have something very different. And that's because it's coming from their inner self. So I love to teach that. I love, you know, that's part of seeing flowers a little differently, not just seeing them more abstractly, but also seeing the unique things about flowers that stimulate these stories. And that happens by slowing down, really taking your time. I think one of the biggest components to creativity is really being willing to experiment and to stay with your subject. So I ask people to find a flower that, you know, speaks to them, and then don't just take a couple of shots and move on, but really sit down, get on the level with that flower and just study it and see how many different ways you can come up with photographing it. And really, there's just so many myths about creativity. You know, people think that it's something you're born with, or something that just kind of, you know, that you have to be right-brained or maybe a little crazy to be creative. But a lot of creativity really comes from just hard work and staying with things and establishing routines. I think any artist that you talk to will tell you that they work really hard at what they do, and they're willing to experiment. They're willing to make mistakes. Mistakes are a huge part of our learning and how we can grow and move on and try new things. I think the difference between a creative person and a non-creative person is that you're willing to pick up and try it again, go back and do it again, and not be afraid of those mistakes, not let them beat you down.
F8, the Photographer's Perspective, is brought to you by Out of Chicago. Out of Chicago brings together passionate enthusiasts with world-class photographers all in one epic location where you learn and shoot side-by-side with the pros. Since 2014, we've organized hands-on photography conferences in Chicago, New York City, Moab, and more. We are all photographers ourselves, so we understand what it takes to be inspired, get to the right place at the right time, and live our best creative life.
So we're down here in Costa Rica. Oh, and by the way, we're at the pool, which I'm guessing you can hear, and we may have a couple of gin and tonics, too.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Sitting by the pool.
Yeah.
We can
yeah.
see the steam rising off the hot tub.
You can probably hear the crickets. We're here. Classes are all over. We've been going all day.
We have early mornings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anne's leading a flower garden walk around the grounds tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So we'll let her go to bed pretty soon. But you've been helping people down here with creativity, even the people that are doing, photographing birds and doing the wildlife. I mean, these things can be applied to anything, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, that's what I love, too, is that, you know, you could take all these ideas and really apply them to so many parts of your life. I think one thing that's really important to understand about creativity, too, is that we need to really constantly be gathering ideas from all different sources. And that's why I love every once in a while really stretching myself to try other kinds of photography, because what ends up happening is, you know, I gather little bits and pieces that I then incorporate into my own practice. And I remember the first time that I, during one of our early conferences, the summer conferences for Out of Chicago, I went out with Angie McMonagall, who is an architectural photographer, and I had no interest whatsoever in architectural photography. I just thought, you know, photographing skylines, photographing buildings, it just held no interest whatsoever for me. And I went out with Angie, who is really just, I think, one of my favorite photographers to follow. And she really looks into buildings and looks for the patterns and looks for the lines and the curves and does this really creative way of shooting, you know, getting in close. And I spent the day shooting with her, and I was like, wow, she sees buildings exactly the same way that I see flowers. And I realized that has had a powerful influence over me here, this very different kind of photography. But that's why I think it's so important to really lead a rich and varied life, to do all kinds of things that then you bring into your own work. And it's not even just about photography. I think, you know, seeing movies, reading books. I mean, I I love reading books, and I love taking the ideas that I get from books, because, you know, it's all kind of in your head. It's not, you know, it's the way you see it.
That's what we were saying the other day. It's interesting because books are not a visual medium.
Right.
But they really are.
They are
as
in
you
your
read,
mind.
It's, yeah, you're visualizing.
But every once in a while, I'll read a book that then feeds into my photography. So I think there's just so many things that we can do. Sometimes we need to take a little break from what we do and go out and try other things. And it all really enriches what we do. So,
yeah, and this is getting way beyond ourselves, but this is something we've talked about, is trying to create an event where we give people an opportunity to really, you know, not just concentrate on photography, but live that rich and full life in so many different ways.
Right.
And we're actually getting quite a bit of that down here in Costa Rica,
we
right?
We are.
Yeah, to get in this environment and see these people, the cultural, the pride that they have for their country here, and how they're protecting the environment, and the food that we're eating, and we really truly are living a rich life while we're down here, and also getting to practice our favorite thing, to do photography.
Yeah.
I mean, on the other hand, you know, I'm thinking that. You know, you say that you like to see architecture and all these other things, but why is it that no matter where we go, Yosemite, Costa Rica, Acadia, wherever we go, you're always looking for the frickin' flowers, Anna, every time.
I can't help myself. What can I say? Well, they're pretty darn beautiful down here.
Yeah, we were on the boat today. We saw a water hyacinth. Is that right?
Yeah, is actually an invasive species, but they are beautiful. Yeah, they're absolutely beautiful. And what really has surprised me is that, I mean, we knew that some of the people coming on this trip were interested in flowers, but I've been really kind of blown away by how many, the other night when we were doing an image review, I was surrounded by this group that said, tell me about Lens Baby. I want to know, you know, what are these lenses, and, you know, show me more of what you do. And cause I had done a presentation that day, and that kind of sparked their interest, and they wanted to know more. So, I mean, I pulled up one of my Lens Baby presentations and went through part of it with them, and it opened up a new avenue. I mean, I think that's what's really wonderful, is that, you know, we had that happen in Acadia. We've had that happen in many places.
So I was going to say, that was the first time we saw it was in Acadia, and we were there for the landscapes.
Right.
And people shot Lens Baby and photographed flowers, and you guys were on the trails and the gardens, and people left, and they said, I came for the landscapes, but I left, and I've learned I'm a flower photographer. Yeah. It's crazy. So
that's really fun.
Yeah, I totally
really
agree.
Fun.
Wow. So speaking of teaching people Lens Baby and your and the presentations you have, you also have a new book this year.
Yeah.
And I had to write down the name because it's really, really long. Creative Flower Photography, An Illustrated Guide to the Magic of Lens Baby Lenses. So tell us a little bit about this book.
Well, what prompted me to write this book was that I was getting emails and messages through Instagram, through Facebook, every day I would get these messages, you know, tell me about these Lens Baby lenses, and which one should I buy? Should I buy the Velvet 56 or the Velvet 85? Or, you know, and I was spending, and I love doing this. I absolutely love doing this, but I thought, you know, maybe I just need to write a book. And this would be some place that I could help people learn more about what the lenses do. So, I've been thinking about it for a while, and finally last fall, after, you know, my teaching season is really spring through fall, and then I have this nice chunk of time where it's a little quieter. I mean, I'm still shooting all through the winter. I just move indoors to conservatories and the orchid show, and I don't think I could go for 6 months without flowers or botanicals. But I spent a good part of my winter, and we had a very cold, long winter in Chicago riding. And I've always loved to ride. It's always been something that I've enjoyed. I keep journals, I keep notebooks. And actually that's one of the ways that I kind of gather ideas that I bring into my own photography is by journaling and just having kind of an idea book. And I think that's a really important thing for people to do. But I just dove in and I started writing this book and really talking about each of the lenses. And, but it's not just about Lens Baby. It's also there's a lot of my philosophy about flowers, the way I see flowers. There's a lot of tips and techniques that go beyond just using Lens Babies, but it's done really well. I'm really happy with the sales. I'm hoping to start another one probably this coming fall because I do really love writing books.
And what's that going to be about?
Well, it'll probably be centered around creativity, but maybe more traditional flower photography. I don't know. I'm still mulling over it, but.
But you've been thinking a lot about just creativity and helping people to be more creative over the last year or two, but really just the last year, I think, you've always done that, but I think you've just really put more thought into it than you ever have before.
Yeah, I do. I spend a lot of time reading. I mean, there's just so many great sources out there of, books that talk about creativity, not necessarily in the photography world, but in the art world.
Are there some you'd recommend to people?
Oh,
yeah. Off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head. Where could I start? Well, I think one photographer that I turn to again and again and again is David Duchemin. I read his blog posts over and over. I just think he is, he's an incredible, he's an incredible photographer, of course, very different than what I do, but his ideas about creativity and vision are just right exactly aligned with how I feel. So I love reading his stuff. There's a lot of, I had the pleasure this spring of finally meeting John Barclay. We knew of each other, and of course, he's going to be with us at Longwood as one of our instructors. We presented together at the Creative Photography Conference that Hazel Mara does, and it was really uncanny because he presented first, and then I presented right after him. And my presentation in so many ways mirrored his. We had so many of the same ideas, and afterwards we both said, wow, that's really crazy, and we decided that we wanted to try to collaborate in the future. And so I got back home after that conference, and he was mentored by Nancy Rottenberg, a wonderful photographer who passed away a number of years ago. And she was not only a flower photographer, but photographed many different things. But her, she was very much focused on creativity and vision. And he had, I think, one copy started out with a number of copies of her books that he gave to people. And I think he had, one or two copies left. He said, I want to send you this. And it was really, honestly, one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. I was so touched by it. And I think I've read the book 3 or 4 times. It's a beautifully written book. Her ideas, it was like, I felt like she also mirrored where I come from too. It really bringing the more emotional side into photography. And so that's a wonderful book. I think you can still get it.
I tried. It's,
you did?
There were some copies on Amazon for $300 or something.
Well, it honestly, it would be worth it. There's even just a funky little book. Austin Kleon did this book called Steal Like an Artist. it's, you know, you can download it onto your Kindle, and it's maybe a 45-minute read, but he has some wonderful ideas about how we can, he uses the word steal, but I think it's really a matter of gathering ideas from other people. I mean, that's what we do when we're learning photography. We're gathering from all different sources. And, you know, I think that's why coming to conferences like we put on is so important, because you can take an idea from Alan Shapiro or from Jackie Kramer or from John Barclay or from Anne Beaumont. And really, the important thing is, yes, maybe in the beginning you steal those ideas, you play with them, but in the end you need to make them your own and incorporate them into your style. And
sure, but I kind of disagree. You say that, like, this is important when you're learning photography, unless you mean that we're always learning photography.
We're always learning.
Sure, because you're doing it now. All of us are doing it now.
Yeah.
That we're, yeah, this is
absolutely
not just about, okay, I learned photography. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. Once you've figured out how to use your camera and how all the basics of composition or whatever, now how do you go further than that? And I'd like to think that the events we put together take you beyond that
yeah.
It's not just camera settings and the basics, that it's about how do you be more creative, how do you do something in your own unique style. And so
you find your own authentic voice.
Yeah But to do that and to push yourself, that's when you kind of need to steal like an artist, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so the people that come to our things, even if you're a very advanced photographer, you're still gonna learn a lot to see what other people are doing.
Right. Well, and I think that really brings up a very important point, that this is a journey, and it's a journey that never ends. You know, that you don't just suddenly become a great photographer and it all, you know, falls together and stops. That, I mean, I don't want that to ever happen. I want to continue to grow and to learn and to evolve. And, that's really exciting to me, is to think that I could be in a very different kind of place even a year from now, just because I am taking in all those ideas and discovering new things and experimenting. And so I think we do have to look at it as a journey, and we have to be really patient with that journey, because it doesn't come overnight. I mean, I work with people in all different places along that journey from the beginning. And sometimes I think the beginning photographers are really impatient. They want to get it all at once. And it's a step-by-step process that we have to be really patient. And I think we have to really honor each step as we go. You know, I recently looked back in my files to the very beginning of when I started taking flowers, and part of me was absolutely horrified. But after I really thought about it, I thought, no, this is great. Look at how far you've come. I mean, this is what has to happen. And that's part of the exciting thing about what we do, is that it is a journey, and it's your own journey too. It's not someone else's, it's your journey. And that's why you have to do it in your own way, and you have to find the photography that excites you and that brings you joy, and not worry about what other people are doing or what other people are saying. You know, I really try to point that out when I work with people, that you have to shut those voices in your head.
And you're really good at it, because not only are you teaching at all these things, but you've gotten very popular on Instagram, and you're constantly posting and interacting with other people on Instagram. But do you get that feeling sometimes where it's like, oh, I don't know if this one is as good as the rest of my images? Does that worry you sometimes, or do you
I don't think there is an artist in the world that doesn't have doubts. And that's another myth that I think needs to be put to rest, is that, you know, people see your best images, hopefully, and they think that that's what you create all the time. But if somebody looked in my Lightroom catalog, they'd see that I have a lot of misses. I have a lot of mistakes. I have, you know, I might go out and shoot 500 images, and maybe I don't even process any of them, or maybe I just choose one that resonates with me. But no, not everything that we do is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There's lots of mistakes. There's lots of going back and trying something again. And I think when people realize that, it's, you know, it makes it, you know, maybe more human.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that you say it's all part of a journey, and we're going to continue that journey in just a couple weeks going to Longwood.
Yes.
What are your favorite things to photograph at Longwood Gardens?
Well, I hate to play favorites, you know, but I do love the dahlias at Longwood. They're really outstanding. And you've been there. You've seen them.
Yeah, we went there to scout last year. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, shot a lot in the rain. So we had a lot of flowers covered in raindrops. It was beautiful. Yeah. There's so much there. There's everywhere you turn, there's beautiful subjects.
So give people some tips. You know, we're coming up near the end of the summer. The dahlias are going to be really strong in gardens around the country. Give people tips just for photographing dahlias. And maybe describe them a little bit for the people that are like, I'm not a flower person, but I listen to this whole podcast, so fine, you better tell me what a dahlia is.
Well, there's, I can't even guess how many different kinds of dahlias there are. There's so many different varieties. How would I describe a dahlia? I don't know. They're just beautiful. That's an impossible question, Chris.
Oh, that's a great question. You're the flower person. Come on.
You look on my Instagram page. You'll see plenty of them.
Yeah, but she's got great shots of them, like, up close where it looks like it's almost like flames, the way the petals are.
Yeah.
And just all the different petals can be different in each one. And like you said, all different colors.
Yeah, many different colors.
So what are some tips? You're going to be in the trial garden. Is that what it's called?
That'll be one of the places.
Where,
yeah, and the flower garden walk is also usually has a lot of dahlias. I'll also be doing water lilies, which are another of my favorite summer flowers. Those are a flower that I don't necessarily use lens baby for because they require a longer focal length lens, a zoom to get close to. But roses, I absolutely love roses. And then, you know, I do have this thing about ferns. I love ferns. Those are, you know, the spring flowers are very different. Tulips, ferns, ranunculus. But the way I approach any flower is, again, what I said before, is really taking your time, studying the flower. You know, I tell my students, look at that flower like you've never seen it before, like it doesn't have a name. And what's drawing you to it? What within that flower is interesting to you? Is it a curl of a petal? Is it the back of the flower? There's just so many different ways to photograph flowers. We don't just have to come up and photograph them straight on. You know, really work that subject. Because in essence, that is what creativity is experimenting and trying to see things in different ways. And that doesn't happen unless you stay with it. And that's what I meant when I said we have to work hard at this, you know. It's not just snap a picture and move on. We have to really stay with it and work hard at it. And I think, you know, I've watched people in the field and they're always so surprised what they come up with when they take that approach to the subject. Looked at that flower that way, or, you know, I never saw that.
Yeah, you see so many people that just walk up and snap, or and if they're more serious photographers, they walk up, they take their time, they eye it up, they get a shot, they get two shots, and they walk on to the next flower. But But I think in their minds, they're going, wow, if I were just really, really good, I would have gotten it. And it's like, no, there's so much more work and time and effort that has to go into it. It's not just a matter of, well, if I had a better eye, then those two snaps that I got would have been great. It's that all this other stuff is what goes into getting a great shot.
Right. You develop that better eye by studying your subjects.
Yeah, but it's not like you walk up to a flower and go, oh, there it is. It should be this angle, and here's the shot and snap. I mean, as a matter of fact, I hadn't thought of this before, but you really remind me of Angie McMonagle, like we were talking about, the architecture photographer, where she will stand underneath this pattern of this building, and I'll see her shuffle her feet and move 2 inches forward in this way and turn her lens just the tiniest bit. And that's exactly what you do with a flower, kind of all angles on the thing and just shot after shot. I mean, if you find a flower that you really, really like, how many pictures do you think you typically take?
Oh, lots. I mean, it can be hundreds. And there've been times when I've stayed with a flower for hours with one single flower and just shot it in so many different ways, so many different apertures, different lenses, just really pushing that. And that's where the aha moments happen. That's where the creativity comes in. It comes with that practice, that hard work. And that to me is what's really exciting.
Yeah. And you definitely get excited about it.
I do. I do.
It's funny when we're out there, it's not like you're just like, okay, well, I've got to get a good picture and this is going to be it. You're, oh, I think I got to go try the velvet now. Okay. Oh, I'm going to go try this lens. And
I do. Yeah. I get such joy out of it. I really do. And I never get tired of it. That's the thing. You think, you know, after a while you might get bored, but.
Do you get bored of it?
No.
Do you
get... No. And I mean, that, you know, that's the other thing. I've been photographing at Chicago Botanic for how many years? I mean, 20 years. I mean, really seriously for probably a dozen years. And, you know, people say, well, don't you run out of subjects? Don't you? Because, I mean, in the summer, in spring and summer, I can be there almost every day photographing, sometimes twice a day. Mm-hmm. But no.
I know, that's my story. It's like when I saw you at the garden, or maybe I just talked to you on the phone, and you're like, oh, I just got to the garden. I'm like, but Anne, it's 3 p.m. You're like, well, I'm here for the second time.
Yeah. You know, I don't take that for granted. I feel really blessed that, you know, that I live so close to this amazing place and I can get there in a matter of minutes. And, you know, I can spend 2 hours or I can spend a whole day there. So,
yeah, it's interesting when we were talking about, you know, our first ever flower and garden conference was at Chicago Botanic, but now we're going to Longwood Garden. And we're like, well, where should we go for the next one? And we're like, maybe we should go back to Chicago. And we're like, no, nah, everyone's already done that one. And we go, well, that was only 5 days. Anne goes there like 300 plus days a year. So it's like,
and never gets
sick of it. So I think another 5 days, people will be excited to do it.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about Chicago Botanic is that there are so many gardens. There's, what, 27 gardens within the garden. And so, you know, it's hard to know where to go because there's so much. You know, I mean, I don't try to go to all 27 gardens every time I'm there. I usually pick a couple places where I want to focus my time. But
I usually know when I go there and I try and meet you, I'm like, oh, she's probably going to go to the Circle Garden and then over to, you know, I kind of know your little route sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe depending on the season, but.
Well, and what's in bloom, or what, you know, what I might be going back to photograph a second time or, you know. I mean, it's interesting because some flowers only last a day, and so the timing is everything, like the cactus flowers, some of the lotuses. You have to be there to catch them. But other flowers can stay pretty much the same for, you know, a week at a time, you know. So you do have that opportunity to go back. It's a pretty awesome place.
Yeah, well, you're one of our favorite people. And every time we go to one of these events, everyone loves you.
Aww.
And I don't know, it just makes everything... I just love being with you, too, and all that. So, Just really lucky to have you doing everything that you're doing and helping out with Out of Chicago. So thank you. And yeah, it just wouldn't be as special without you. So that means a whole lot.
We have a great team. We have a great thing going. We have a great leader.
That's right. Yeah, don't forget about that.
No, it's really exciting because, you know, I met you when this was just, you know,
just getting started,
and to see how it's grown and the people that we've met and the wonderful events that we've put together, and they really truly are different. And, you know, people come and they just say, gosh, this was so much fun. And, you know, we put a lot of energy into it. We put a lot of energy into it and a lot of enthusiasm. And I think that's really what makes us different, is that there's just a lot of warmth and enthusiasm.
Yeah. And next year, I think you'll be with us for all of our events, but you'll definitely be teaching at the Chicago Botanic Garden, and you'll be teaching in Acadia with us. We're going to go back and do that again in October 2020. So, yeah. Was there another one I'm forgetting? No, that was it, I think.
Well, and who knows what else we're going to put together.
Yeah, we got some great ideas.
We got some great ideas going. Yeah, that's part of the fun, is just coming up with you know, you're good at that.
Yeah, I have lots of ideas for sure. It's just difficult to pull them all off. So, yeah, but Costa Rica's been great. We've had a wonderful time down here. Hopefully the pool and all the bugs and everything haven't been too annoying. Yeah. You've made it this far in the podcast. We really appreciate it. But yeah, for those of you coming to Longwood, we can't wait to see you. And then our next event is Oregon, in Newport, Oregon, on the coast. And you know what? I keep saying it, but we're going to have information soon on Out of Yosemite, and that'll be coming out soon.
Oh,
and
that one is going to be really special.
Yeah. We had
really,
so much fun in Yosemite. And
Really special.
So we won't go into all the details right now, but we will. And yeah, we hope to see you soon at one of those events or one of the events in 2020. And yeah, or maybe come down to Costa Rica with us sometime. Yeah, good times. Before we go, Aunt Thelma, tell us, where can we find you? Where can we find your lovely images?
My website is annbelmontphotography.com. And I have, you know, for anybody interested in Lens Baby, I have a whole gallery just dedicated to Lens Baby images. And they're actually keyworded so that you can figure out which lens I shot them with. And of course, my ebook, there's a link to the ebook on my website. It's sold through Visual Wilderness, visualwilderness.com, the learning community developed by Jay and Verena Battelle. And I also write lots of articles for them. So you can do a search on their site and pull up lots of articles about, you know, everything from, I've done some articles on some of the lenses for Lens Baby. I've done articles on photographing orchids, photographing water lilies, photographing tulips. So that's kind of a fun way just to get a peek into what, you know, what my philosophy is and some of the techniques that I teach. And then I'm very active on Instagram. I am on Facebook, but I don't post as much on Facebook. I have mixed feelings about Facebook, but I love the Instagram community. I've met, in fact, so many people that are coming to Longwood I've met through Instagram. And it's a wonderful community of people. And of, I think, you know, particularly, well, for any genre of photography, but the flower photographers are just amazing and so interactive. And so that's Ann Belmont Photography. So come find me there too.
All right, very good. All right, can't wait to hang out with you in Longwood.
Yep.
All right, talk
See you
soon.
Then.
Thanks, Ann. Bye bye.
Thank you.
F8, The Photographer's Perspective is hosted by me, Chris Smith, and produced by Out of Chicago. A special thanks to all photographers that share their inside knowledge to make this possible. We release a new episode each week, so be sure to subscribe to the show wherever podcasts are found. To learn more about Out of Chicago and upcoming events, go to outofchicago.com. Subscribe to our mailing list to stay connected and be the first to know of our next new location where you can shoot side-by-side with the pros.